ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying on a train. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying on a train.
Everybody, this is Blitz and Smooth, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. And today we are going to be doing tributes to our favorite artists of all time. And these are people who have passed away in the last, you know, however long. So please listen up, and it's going to be a great 2 hours of famous artists who have passed away. So what do you have to say about this segment, Smooth?
I'm excited too. I'm really excited. Gonna be hearing, on my part, a lot of great artists, hip-hop primarily, but
yeah, and I'm a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you know, I gotta add my hip-hop twist, so I'll be educating as well as, well, educating verbally and lyrically about the great artists who have passed.
And we did start it off with Hound Dog by Elvis Presley, and I was actually born on Elvis Presley's birthday. So when I was born, they were doing a whole bunch of Elvis tributes. So what better fit than to be doing this today?
All right, let's go ahead and play it then.
All right, so do you want me to start, or would you like to start?
How about you start?
Okay. So the first song I'm going to be playing is by Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson, one of my favorite artists. But I'm going to play the song first and then give you a little bit of background. But I'm sure many of the listeners that are listening right now have heard Michael Jackson songs, because he is the king of music, pretty much.
Pop. In particular, but yes.
Yeah, but in music in general, he's just great. So I'm going to play Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. Enjoy, and we'll be back here in just a second.
I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. Gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm
Is Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. Smooth. I know you love this song because you were singing the entire time.
I definitely was. Michael Jackson is probably my all-time favorite artist. All around great, great music. It's just, I mean, I love to dance, so anything that gets me going and blood pumping, and I think Michael Jackson definitely does that for me.
He's the king of pop.
King of pop. He's the complete artist. He can dance. Honestly, made the moonwalk what it is today.
Oh man, just totally. And people try to do it, and like there's only a few people that can really do it like he did.
Yeah, I wanted to learn so bad. I just never actually ended up learning. It's pretty hard, but
oh, you want to demonstrate for me later?
No, because I don't know how to do it.
Oh, I thought you said you learned.
No,
how
I
to
tried,
do it.
Oh. But there are definitely videos of me when I was younger. Going, well, my mom and dad would record me, and I had a hat. I wore a goalie glove, a white goalie glove, and I would just be dancing to Billie Jean and Bad, just attempting to do the moonwalk and landing on
it's
my
okay,
tippy
you're
toes
not the only
and
one.
Just sweating bullets from
from dancing.
Trying and shit. Yeah, to I was up. Just going with it, just jamming, you know. And this is me, a little kid, so. Definitely embraced Michael Jackson for the artist he is.
Yeah,
timeless music.
When I found out that he passed away, I literally started crying. Like, no joke. I just remember it was all over the news. And the whole entire day I sat on the couch watching the news. And just, you know, they showed everything that happened over and over. And then there was the trials. And then I even, till this day, look up what his two kids are doing and how his daughter actually tried to commit suicide. And so they say she did, but you know we really will never know. But you know it's just crazy. I mean, those kids don't look anything like him at all,
And there were also, you know, those allegations of him sleeping with children and mm-hmm. him being gay,
putting
and all
babies
this stuff.
Over the
yeah.
Balcony.
Well, that was his own child in London.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was his own child and. Yeah, I mean, he literally got scrutinized for anything he did. It was just an ongoing kind of
But then, you know, we go back to the publicity, you know, good and bad. That's what people want to see. So, unfortunately, that was, you know, I don't obviously know Michael Jackson as a person because I've never met him. Unfortunately, that would have been amazing to meet in person. Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. But, you know, he, with everybody, like, you know, you go back to Miley Cyrus, you go back to the Kardashians. I mean, but he was the king of pop. And even like one little thing he does is, you know, put on blast.
Honestly, I think he was just too famous for his own good. Everything he did, I mean, and he seems like he was a very personal guy, you know, like he didn't want his stuff being out. And he tried to avoid tabloids and all that being on there. But I mean, the magnitude of this artist and everything he accomplished and how famous he became, it was kind of impossible and even inevitable for him to, you know, make the tabloids on anything he did. Wherever he went, he was just followed, you know, and it's just speaks to the magnitude and respect that people have for him as an artist and what he accomplished while he was with us.
Totally agree. And, you know, I didn't know that he was a philanthropist.
Really?
I had no idea that he was a philanthropist, loving humanity.
Actually, I can see that. You know, he was always, he seemed like, he was, obviously, again, speaking from just what we see in the news and stuff, but he seemed like he was a very simple guy in touch with nature. Yeah, I see that. In touch with nature and just really enjoyed simplicity in life and just enjoyed life, you know. You could honestly, I feel like he was a modern day hippie. Yeah, because I mean,
but with like a rock,
exactly,
twist, or
well,
a
that's what
twist.
I'm saying, a modern day hippie, because obviously, you know, grew up in embraced the culture growing up, but you know, still had that simplicity and love for life and just, yeah, just getting into life and whatnot.
Yeah, so he was a singer, a songwriter, a dancer, a businessman, and a philanthropist, often referred to by the horrific nickname, honorific nickname, King of Pop, or his initials, MJ. Jackson was recognized as most successful entertainer of all time by Guinness World Records. So he really was an entertainer and an amazing singer, and his music videos were off the hook.
His music videos really did everything that I feel like they did. They exceeded music video expectations and honestly surpassed them by immense amounts. In his videos, he would not only do a music video, he would go and, you know, make a short film out of it with Smooth Criminal and all that. It was honestly just not just the music.
Or Thriller.
He would create feelings through a video that honestly could not be redone.
Yeah, no, his, you know, imagination and his artistic, you know, self was just, it was, you know, you're blown away because you don't really see that much talent. I mean, you see the talent in people now, but just nothing's ever going to amount to what he was.
Yeah, you definitely can't match what he brought to the table. I mean, going back to his imagination, that's honestly what drove him. He, you know, they talked about his favorite character being Peter Pan, and when he got plastic surgery done, you know, he was getting scrutinized for having... Why did he do that? Why did he...
Or bleach his skin?
Yeah, why did
he... was super dark when he was... I mean, you look at the
comparison
was, over the years of, you know, what he looked like when he was in Jackson 5 and then now, before he died. I mean, he basically changed himself into a white, small-nosed person, you know what I mean?
Again,
rather than what he was born.
Yeah.
How he was born.
And obviously when that whole skin color change happened... They were saying, or he came out saying it wasn't necessarily something that he wanted. It was something that just happened, you know, skin disease. And again, we'll never know, but there was definitely a lot of things he wanted to see and embrace in the world that he tried to implement through his music. You know, everything mm-hmm. he sang about was peace, and just talked about the bad in the world and how it tried to make it good.
Yeah, I you know, he was great. I mean, I don't really have words because his music was just so awesome. And, you know, he was a great person from what we see. But, you know, you don't really know that until you've actually, like, met the person, you know, in person to see how they're like, you know.
Yeah. And, so. Like, even with where he lived at Neverland, like, he oh made that gosh. Whole thing. It was basically so a miniature cool. Disneyland
it was so
at
cool.
his house, you know. And I remember seeing a documentary where he actually allowed cameras to go inside of his house. And it was just an amazing thing. He had go-karts in the backyard and just a Ferris wheel and a merry-go-round and just all kinds of fun stuff.
That's so cool. And, you know, his kids are, like, beautiful. Have you seen pictures of his kids? Yeah, Prince and
Blanket.
Prince and Blanket.
Interesting names.
But, you know, he's an interesting guy. He was out there. I mean, that would, you know, that makes perfect sense. But, you know, I don't know if he named him or if she did, so.
Well, I think he did. I mean, yeah, there's so much to talk about with Michael Jackson. There's so many things.
Yeah, and he's the eighth child of the Jackson family. So he was one of eight, which is
the youngest. Not the youngest, but definitely the most talented.
Mm-hmm, definitely the most talented.
And just
he debuted on the professional music scene along with his brothers and the members of the Jackson Five. So his sister Janet, we don't really see very much of her anymore ever since these court hearings and things have been going around with his family. I mean, it's been sad having to see those kids go through as much as they have about, you know, something about their father's death that they're already upset about, you know, especially because of the overdose. And I believe the doctor actually went to jail for overdosing, so it wasn't actually a suicide thing.
Yeah, well, what they're saying is that although the doctor did prescribe it, Michael Jackson was asking for a heavier dose every time. And I mean, although he was asking for it, I mean, that's when the whole thing comes in play. Like, when do you really, I guess, stop?
When is it whose fault?
Yeah, basically. When is it whose fault? Because although, you know, you're the doctor and you're prescribing the medicine, you got to think realistically, if an artist of that magnitude asks you to do something, would you really do it? You know, that whole thing comes into play, and it just really, it's something to talk about, because honestly, in that situation, I honestly feel like I could say that yes, I would say no right now, but if I'll put in that situation, I really don't think I'd be able to say no to someone like Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
he's the kind of guy where you do what he says, you know? And even if he's not, you know, imposing his will on you, you just feel inclined to, all right, you know, I got to please Michael Jackson because it is Michael Jackson, you know? The magnitude of who he is really comes into play at that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, like I said, I can't say enough about him, his music videos, his family, his, you know, just everything about him was really great. I mean, he was incredibly wealthy, but he never really acted like he was higher than everybody else.
That's what I'm saying. It comes back to, he really was a simple guy, enjoyed simplicity in life, and just enjoyed his life, you know. Again, while he was with us, sadly he passed away. And I honestly remember when he passed away, I couldn't believe it. At that point, later stages in his life, you know, he kind of stayed under the radar and didn't really come up in the tabloids as much.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so when he passed away, I remember I was at my house with my family, and I just couldn't believe it. And what's really ironic about it is I got sick that night, and not because, you know, obviously he passed away, but I just remember getting sick. Like, I had a fever and all that, and it was really weird. That night I got a fever.
Oh, were you, like, getting sick because he died?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Maybe some...
Maybe something.
Something happened. But something happened. No, yeah, I just remember being sick, and the next day I didn't go to school, so all I did was watch Michael Jackson videos. Yeah. It was crazy.
I don't think I went to the school. I went to school. I remember. Okay. I went to school and everybody had Michael Jackson shirts on. Everybody. I mean, it was like, people were crying. People were hugging. People were like just, the teachers were all depressed. They like didn't give homework for like a week. Like, it was everybody in my whole school was just so depressed. And, like, especially the older ones that, like, actually saw him, like, when he was in the 80s and the 90s and, like, really saw that. Because, I mean, we were young men. We were, like, little, but they actually saw him in concert when, you know, his good stuff was coming out. So, I mean, all of his stuff was good stuff, but, like, his very popular songs. So, anyways, that's Michael Jackson for you. And, what an amazing artist he is. So.
Never will go away.
Never, never, ever.
His music is timeless. He is timeless. Mm-hmm. Sad that he couldn't really finish his career because he was actually going to make a tour, a This Is It tour in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And
then they actually ended up turning it into a movie and he died in the right before, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe a week or two before the tour kicked off, mm-hmm. which was when this happened. And, really, really unfortunate that nobody ever got to see that farewell tour.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been crazy to just see one stop in the tour.
Yeah, I never got to see Michael Jackson in concert, and that's like one thing I really, really regret is not being able to see him in concert.
Well, again, that's not your fault.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's true. All right, so moving right along, what do you have for us, Smith?
Well, just before I transition into my song, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is Smash Beats Radio here with Smooth, which is myself, and Blitz.
That's me.
Today on our tribute segment to respecting all those artists who have left us and appreciating, reminiscing on their music. So right along, I will be transitioning to the song Regulators by Warren G featuring Nate Dogg. I decided to do this song because although Nate Dogg has passed away, he's only featured in this song, but this song is honestly another timeless hit that has just been a great song, and I just thought we'd play it. So here it is.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the E, so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC, on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All of you search, know what's up with 213.
So I hooked a left on 21 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some, so I said, I'm stuck.
Since these girls peeping me, I'm gonna glide and swerve. These looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want to bigger, better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they taking Warren's wealth. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's next?
They got my homie hemmed up and they all around. Can't none of them see him if they going straight pound for pound. They wanna come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my and lay them busters down.
They got guns to my head, I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town.
If I had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make somebody's turn. Now they dropping and yelling, it's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. I laid all them busters down, I let my explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode. You won't skirt, sit back and observe. I just slept a gang of over there on the curb.
Now they got the freaks, and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on N-A-T-E and me.
the woman to the G.
Just like I thought, they were in the same spot, in need of some desperate help. The Nate Dogg and the G Child were in need of something else. One of them names was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. She said, my chords broke down and just sing real nice. Would you let me ride? I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the East Side Motel.
I'm tweaking into a whole new era. G-Funk, step to this, I dare ya. Funk on a whole new level.
The rhythm is the bass. Whoa. And the bass is the treble.
Chords, strings, we brings melody. G-Funk,
where rhythm is life and life is rhythm. If you know like I know, you don't wanna step to this. It's the G-Funk era, funked out with a gangster twist. You smoke like I smoke, then you like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will regulate.
That was Orangey featuring Nate Dogg, Regulators. Great, great song. Honestly, great. I love this song. I don't know.
I feel like I'm pretty sure this is the song that my dad danced to before, to my, like, dancing, like, with my mom. But he started dancing and, like, breaking it off. And I think that's when my mom fell in love with him.
She fell in love with him because of this song?
Because of his dancing skills.
Hey.
Hey.
Anyway. Honestly, a timeless song that will never get old, ever in life. Nate Dogg, also known as Nathaniel Dwayne Hale, was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi on August 19th, 1969, which is also the year we went to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to Long Beach, California when he was 14, following his parents' divorce. And he began singing as a child in the New Hope Baptist Church in Long Beach and Lifeline Baptist Church in Clarksdale, Mississippi, where his father, Daniel Lee Hale, was a pastor. At the age of 16, he dropped out of high school in Long Beach and left home to join the U.S. Marine Corps, serving for 3 years. And in 1990, Nate Dogg and Snoop Dogg and their friend Warren G formed a rap trio called 213. 213 recorded their first demo in the back of a famed VIP record store in Long Beach. The demo was later heard by Dr. Dre at a house party, and he was instantly hooked on the soulful voice of Nate. So, that's, wow. The way he got discovered is actually quite... I mean, it's very old school, you know, in the sense that I feel like that doesn't really happen anymore, you know, getting discovered that way. On December 19th, 2007, Nate Dogg suffered a stroke, according to a coordinator from his recently formed gospel choir, Innate Praise. Reports had circulated that Nate Dogg had been admitted to Pomona Valley Hospital Medical Center in Pomona, California, after suffering a heart attack. Erica Betwith, however, confirmed to MTV News that Nate Dogg was released on December 26th after being treated for a stroke and was admitted to a medical rehabilitation facility to assist him in his recovery. And on January 18th, 2008, it was officially reported that the stroke he had rendered to the left side of his paralyzed body. So that stroke made
him
paralyzed.
Super sad.
Yeah, and doctors believe that there would be a full recovery and his voice wasn't affected. But in September of 2008, he suffered a second stroke and Nate Dogg died on March 15th, 2011 in Long Beach at the age of 41. On March 17th, his attorney, Mark Garagos confirmed that the cause of death was from the complications of multiple strokes. So, honestly, a sad way to go out. But
yeah, that is really sad.
Yeah, just from having, you know, heart complications is something, you know, you hope people don't have to deal with. But it was inevitable in his case after the first one. And the fact that he was paralyzed from having a stroke was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it must have been a really, really bad stroke. I mean, I've heard of that before, but completely paralyzed on one side is just, I can't imagine.
Right?
Like, how do you move your, how do you eat?
I think that's the least of his worries, honestly.
Yeah, the fact that he can't sing anymore.
Well, his voice wasn't affected by the paralyzation.
Yeah, but, like, if you think about it, like, keeping half of your mouth closed, doesn't that sound like it's really difficult?
Half of your mouth closed.
No, like, because, you know, like,
because half you're paralyzed?
Yeah, because you're paralyzed from, like, half your face.
Yeah, I mean, they could do it through an IV. Oh, but, gross. Again, you'd probably be hungry all the time.
Yeah.
Because you're getting all your nutrition through liquids.
You'd be really skinny.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, he got through that one, and it was inevitable that he got it again.
He was 41 when he died. That's how old my mom is. That's just sad.
Yeah, I know. Again, all these artists died at young ages and of terrible causes, you know? Like, there wasn't one legitimate reason, you know, because they were old or anything like that. All these rappers, hip-hop artists, you know, singers, songwriters, really, you know, passed away at the cost of essentially nothing. You know, the little things that do these people in is just incredible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Nate Dogg was definitely a seasoned veteran in the music game, you know, growing up around rappers like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Warren G, you know, and Warren G was fortunate enough to make a song that became such a hit with Nate Dogg, and, you know, this is just a timeless song, and I thought, you know, we should definitely...
Yeah, it's definitely a song that is
well-known
play.
Song. Even if you don't really like hip-hop and rap, you know, this is definitely a song that has a soul twist to it, and I feel like really helps people connect to the artist as well as the song, so I thought it should be mentioned in our tribute.
Very good song to play. Very good song to play. I actually forgot about that, and I really do enjoy that song, so that was a good one.
So you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu here on Smash Beats on our tribute segment here honoring the great artists that have lived and have left us.
Have lived.
Yeah, well, they're not on, you know.
I know, I understand. It's just the way you said it was funny.
So this is DJ Smooth here with DJ Blitz.
That's me.
Transitioning now back to Blitz and see what she has in store for us.
So recently we lost a really great artist, Whitney Houston, and I thought that Whitney Houston had this like just great voice that was, you know, very like lively, like just she could control it very, very well.
Very, very powerful voice.
Very powerful. That's the word I was looking for. Thanks, Smith. So I'm going to be playing a song, I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. So please enjoy, and we'll be right back.
And
upon the hour, and the sun begins to fade.
And that was Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. So, Smooth, what was your feeling on that?
Well, at first, I thought you were going to play another song, but, you know, you ended up playing this song, and it put me in a good mood, not going to lie. Just started gigging a little bit, started dancing a little bit.
You're gigging.
And, yeah, just honestly, what I thought right now is this song made me
want to dance with somebody?
No. This song made me think of Whitney Houston not on a negative note. It made me think, you know, good memories of her, not necessarily the bad ones. You know, not you know what I'm saying? People, when they think about people who have passed away, they think about the negative thoughts and not necessarily the good moments in their life or the happy moments in their lives. You know, I come from a family where when someone passes away, you mourn. You don't necessarily look at the life and party to celebrate the life. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. You know, in my family, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness on one side, and then then my other half of my family was Catholic, they would actually hire on the Roman Catholic side. They would hire mourners, and they would be crying. This is not funny. But they would hire mourners, and it wasn't funny at all, but they would like start doing like this huge elaborate thing where they would like be sobbing, and like that was the way to get over the death. And this is really not funny at all, but it was really weird to see these people like sobbing, and like it was just not a good way to get over somebody's death at all.
Definitely agree. So let's hear a little bit about Whitney Houston.
So Whitney Houston, her middle name's Elizabeth. She was born on August 9th, 1963, and she unfortunately passed away February 11th, 2012. She was an American recording artist, singer, actress, producer, and model. Didn't know she was a model.
Well, she is a very beautiful.
She's a pretty lady. In 2009, the Guinness World Record cited her as the most awarded female act of all time. Houston was one of the world's best-selling music artists, having sold over 200 million records worldwide. She released 6 studio albums, 1 holiday album, and 3 movie soundtrack albums, all of which have diamond, multi-platinum, or gold certification. Houston's crossover appealed on the popular music charts, as well as her prominence on MTV, starting with her video "How Will I Know," influenced several African American female artists to follow in her footsteps. So that's very encouraging. Houston is the only artist to chart 7 consecutive number 1 Billboard Hot 100 hits. She is second artist behind Elton John and the only female artist to have 2 number 1 Billboard 200 album awards on the Billboard magazine year-end charts. Houston's 1985 debut Whitney Houston became the best-selling debut album by a female act at the time of its release. The album was named Rolling Stone's Best Album in 1986 and was ranked at number 254 on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. Her second studio album, Whitney, from 1987, became the first album by female artist to debut at a number 1 on the Billboard 200 charts. So, you know, basically with all that being said, she was just all over the place. You know, she had so many hits. She was a great singer. She worked really hard to be where she was, especially, she was the start to many African American female artists after that. People followed in her footsteps. So yeah, that's a little bit about her. Unfortunately, on February 11th, 2012, Houston was found dead in her guest room at the Beverly Hills, Beverly Hilton in Beverly Hills, California. The official coroner's report show that she had accidentally drowned in the bathtub, with heart disease and cocaine use listed as contributing factors. News of her death coincided on 2012 Grammy Awards and featured prominently in American and international media. So she was a very well-known artist, and unfortunately, it looks like she overdosed. So
it's definitely a sad way to go out when drugs are involved, because, you know, it's something that doesn't really need to happen. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, artists do get caught up in these drugs, and it does take a toll on their life. And a lot of the time, it is the reason why people pass away, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you see this more than ever. I mean, they have so much pressure in general. They have so much pressure to, you know, not, I want to say, like, not be normal. You know, they have so much pressure to be, like, the next big thing, the, you know, king of pop, like Michael Jackson was. But I don't even think he was striving for that. I just think he just became it because his music was so great. But, you know, it's just, it's just sad to see that. I mean, it's sad to see that she overdosed the way she did, so. And she has a daughter as well, and, you know, I know it was really hard on her, but, you know, she seems to be taking it a lot better now. You know, she wasn't very, obviously she was really sad about her mom dying, but she's kind of, you know, accepting it and kind of moving forward now.
Yeah, I agree. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Whitney Houston a sort of mentor for Michael Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just kind of connecting the past two artists who have spoken or have we've listened to. Definitely, you know, she paved the way for artists that we see now with these kinds of such high volume singers.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That was Whitney Houston, one of my favorite songs to actually dance to. I was actually just singing that song to my little brother. He's 3, and we were dancing around the kitchen, and, you know, I just can't believe, actually, she passed away. I was in just as much shock as when I saw maybe a little bit more about Michael Jackson, but I was shocked to see, you know, you never know what their trials are in their lives, and you never know when one is just going to go dark, basically.
So before we transition, I just wanted to do a little PSA. There will be a Uganda immersion trip from May 21st to June 4th, led by Professor Leanne Bartolini and Sister Carla Kovac. Dates to remember in terms of information sessions: Tuesday, November 5th, which has already passed, and there's actually one tomorrow, Thursday, November 13th at 6:45 p.m. at the Psychology Department meeting room on the second floor of Bertrand. The applications for the trip are due Monday, December 2nd by 5 p.m. Group meeting dates in the spring semester are Sunday from 12 to 5 on February 2nd, March 2nd, April 6th, and in May, but that date is to be determined. The full price of the airfare, ground transportation, board and room in Uganda, a 3-day safari, is $3,200. So I encourage you, if you want to travel, to go ahead and sign up for this trip. I mean, Uganda sounds like an interesting experience.
Yeah,
you know,
that's experience, definitely. So we'll look forward to, you know, anybody who's interested in that, then
go to the information session tomorrow and just talk to the two professors about the trip and all that, and go to the group meetings next semester and just get yourself signed up for that. So we'll be transitioning to my song, which is an artist who is actually a female artist, hip-hop artist, which is kind of rare, you know, in the earlier, late 1990s, earlier 2000s, for a female artist to be prominent during that time period. Her name is Aaliyah. Have you heard of her?
Yes, I have. I have her songs on my iPod.
I was about to say, if you hadn't heard of her, I'd be quite shocked. and embarrassed for our world because she really, and I know I've said this before with Whitney Houston, but, you know, Aaliyah did pave the way for all the female artists in the hip-hop game because she did, you know, sadly, when she passed away at that point, she was becoming big and she really became, you know, the female artist, and she was seen as the pretty girl and everything like that. She's, I guess, the old age Beyonce in a sense, mm-hmm. you know, and we never got to really see her reach her full potential because she did pass away at such a young age. But the song I'll be doing is called Try Again, featuring Timbaland. So, and also this song will take us into the second hour of Smash Beats Radio. So you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is Smash Beats Radio again, here with DJ Smooth and DJ Blitz.
That's me.
You're listening to Try Again, featuring Timbaland.
Without a dope beat, step two. It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you. Without a dope beat, step two. Picky, baby girl.
What would you do to get to me? What would you say to have your way? Would you give up or try again if I hesitate to let you in? Now would you be yourself or play a role? Tell all the boys I'll keep it low. If I say no, would you turn away or play me off, or would you stay up? Oh,
don't succeed.
Dust yourself off and try again. You can dust it off and try again and try again.
Don't succeed.
You can dust it off and try again. Dust yourself off and try again. Try again. I'm into you, you into me, but I can't let it go so easily. Not till I see what this could be. Could be eternity or just a week. We know our chemistry is off the chain. It's perfect now, but will it change? This ain't a yes, this ain't a no. We'll see how it goes.
Don't succeed.
Dust yourself off and try again.
Dust
it off and try again. Try again.
Don't succeed.
You can dust it off and try again.
Try again.
Dust yourself off and try again. Try again. You don't wanna throw it all away. I might be shy on the first day. What about the next day?
Again by Aaliyah featuring Timbaland. So a little bit of background on her. She was born in Brooklyn, New York, and raised in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit represent.
Just in case, I want to do another PSA. The Warriors are playing the Pistons tonight.
Yep, and I will be there, and the Pistons are going to win.
Definitely not. Anyway, so at the age of 10, she appeared on the television show Star Search and performed in concert alongside Gladys Knight. So at the age of 10, she was already doing big things. At the age of 12, Aaliyah signed with Jive Records and her uncle Barry Hankerson's Blackground Records. Hankerson introduced her to R. Kelly, who then became her mentor, as well as lead songwriter and producer of her debut album, AJ Nothing But a Number. The album sold 3 million copies in the United States and was certified double platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. After facing allegations of an illegal marriage...
Yeah, I guess age isn't a number.
That's why rumors kind of surfaced about both of them. And also, you know, the name of the album kind of coincided with that. Mm-hmm. Aaliyah ended her contract with Jive Records and signed with Atlantic Records. Now, that's something I want to actually go in depth about because, you know, an illegal marriage is pretty big time.
Do it.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. With the release of AJ Nothing But a Number, rumors circulated of a relationship between Aaliyah and R. Kelly. Shortly after, there was a speculation about a secret marriage with the release of this album and the adult content that Kelly had written for Aaliyah. Vibe magazine later revealed a marriage certificate that listed the couple married on August 31st, 1994 in Sheraton Gateway Suites in Rosemont, Illinois. Aaliyah, who was 15 at the time, was listed as 18 on the certificate. The illegal marriage was annulled in February 1995 by her parents, and the pair continued to actually deny the marriage allegations, stating that neither was married.
I cannot believe that. My parents would kill me.
That's insane. The fact that they honestly just went ahead and didn't. A marriage when she's underage, that's so crazy. The fact that he was down with the idea is pretty insane.
So how old was he when they got married, do you know?
I actually don't.
But that's crazy. I mean, yeah. It doesn't matter. He was a lot older than her.
Well, I mean, I want to say early 20s, which wasn't that bad, but the fact that they got married at that age is pretty crazy.
I can't even imagine. Oh my goodness.
But again, you know, she, big time artist and, you know, the fact that, I think that was probably the number one thing when researching that I found most crazy.
Scandalous.
The fact that, you know, I didn't really know her, obviously, you know, when she was young, we were growing up and still little kids when she was becoming prominent, you know, and we never really saw her take off, obviously, with her death. But, you know, she's definitely a great artist that contributed a lot to the hip-hop game in terms of the women industry. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say it wasn't really even prevalent at that time. So she made it prevalent, and something to note.
Yeah, I really, she's a beautiful woman too. She really is. She, like you said, was like a little Beyonce.
Yeah, and I just want to go in depth about how she passed away. Actually, on August 25th, 2001, Aaliyah and 8 others were killed. She died in an airplane crash in the Bahamas after filming a music video for her single "Rock the Boat." The pilot, Luis Morales III, was unlicensed at the time of the incident and had traces of cocaine and alcohol in his system.
Oh, jeez.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. That's so sad. I mean, she was so young, too.
Yeah, well, just the fact... I mean, I just can't fathom the fact... Why is this man getting employed to fly an airplane with cocaine in the system. Well, not even that. Let's put that aside. But it's the fact that he's an unlicensed pilot driving around a famous artist. Like that, the fact that even happened and they let it slide was pretty incredible.
I mean, sometimes people like plan that to like get rid of them. But I mean, I can't see how. I mean, she, I heard, was a very nice person, or from what I've read. And Yeah, that's cocaine in your system. How do you fly a plane with cocaine?
I mean, yeah, that just raises the question, like, who is driving, you know, or piloting these people around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you be able to tell if someone was coked out or drunk?
Yeah, you should know. It should be.
Yeah, I also heard that the plane was actually overloaded weight-wise. So, I mean, that could have played a major role in that, but...
But, I mean, overall, there was unlicensed cocaine in your system that shouldn't have even been.
There are definitely a lot of red flags within that whole thing that, you know, could have caused or triggered something
the
negative
crash,
like this
yeah.
to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So... Aaliyah is listed by Billboard as the 10th most successful female R&B artist of the past 25 years and 27th most successful R&B artist in history. And, you know, that's not even her reaching her full potential. She was, in my opinion, still, you know, rising to the top. She hadn't even hit her stride yet in terms of, you know, big time. You know, hitting mm-hmm. the big times with everybody
else. And
she
definitely could have. She definitely could have. Well, her voice was great.
Yeah, for this song, Try Again, it just shows what she could have accomplished.
Yeah, she was, it's sad that she died. it's, you know, that's the one part, you know, these artists come out and they make these great hits and then all of a sudden, you know, you see them overdosing or, you know, getting shot or, you know, just the craziest thing. So the fact that she passed away and, you know, how sad for her family, how sad for, you know, the people that, you know, really loved her and everything. So.
All right. So I think we're going to transition to
back to me. Well, the next song I'm going to be playing is by Elvis Presley again. And Elvis, not a lot of people our age listen to Elvis. And then when they do, they have a really good taste in music. Not saying that if you don't listen to him that you have a bad taste in music. But Elvis Presley, this is the song I'm going to be playing is Can't Help Falling in Love. And I definitely would like to play this song at my wedding because it's a classic. And here we go.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't some things are meant to be.
gosh, I love that song. I don't know, there's something about it. I don't know, just his voice. Oh my goodness, love that song. So that was Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley. Such an amazing artist. I know I keep saying amazing, but he really, truly was. And he was born January 8th, 1935, which is when I was born. Not in 1935. I was not born in 1935, but my birthday is January 8th. And he passed away August 16th, 1977. He was an American singer, musician, and actor, one of the most significant culture icons of the 20th century. And he's often referred to as the King of Rock and Roll, or simply the King. Born in Tupelo, Mississippi, Presley and his family moved to Memphis, Tennessee when he was 13 years old. His music career began there in 1954 when he started to work at Sam Phillips, the owner of Sun Records, accompanied by guitar Scotty Moore and bassist Bill Black. Presley was an early popularizer of the rockabilly, an up-tempo backbeat-driven fusion of country music and the rhythm of blues. So, did you like that, Smooth?
It was an interesting song. I mean, I've definitely heard it before, but it was soothing. It was a soothing song, and I could fall asleep to that song. It's just a nice, relaxing song.
In November 1956, he made his film debut in Love Me Tender. In 1958, he was drafted into the military service. He resumed his recording career 2 years later, producing some of the most commercially successful work before devoting much of the 60s to making Hollywood movies and their accompanying soundtrack albums, most of which were critically derided. In 1968, following a seven-year break from the performances, he returned to the stage in the acclaimed televised comeback special Elvis, which led to an extended Las Vegas concert residency and a string of high profitable tours in 1973. Presley was featured in the first globally broadcast concert via satellite, Aloha from Hawaii. Several years later of prescription drug abuse, he had several occasions where he would use too much, and over a period of time it deteriorated his health, and he died in 1977 at the young age of 42. So it seems like everybody's starting to die in their 40s.
Yeah, I feel like if these artists don't pass away in the 20s, it's definitely the 40s.
The 30s are off limits.
Yeah, the 30s is when people get smart. But anyway, whatever.
And then they get stupid again when they hit the 40s.
Here's another artist, Elvis Presley, who, you know, again, with the drugs, mm-hmm. I just don't understand why drugs are such a... Well, I feel with, you know, I'm going to go ahead and quote Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility, mm-hmm. and I feel a lot of people can't handle the power and, you know, money and all that that comes with the fame and the of being an artist. It takes a toll on everybody, and you know, here we see another case of someone who can't handle the pressure. Yeah. And resort to drugs and
alcohol.
Eventually it does them in.
And Presley is one of the most celebrated musicians of the 20th century, commercially successful in many genres, including pop, blues, and gospel. He is the best-selling solo artist in the history of recorded music. So, you know, you see this person is just way famous, and unfortunately, he couldn't handle it. And that's pretty sad. And he was actually nominated for 14 Grammys and won 3, receiving Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award at 36 years old. How young is that?
Yeah, that's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, it's amazing. And also, you know, some fun facts about Elvis. His famous black hair was actually dyed. His real color is brown. It's like a dark brown. So he dyed his hair. Elvis purchased his first guitar when he was 11 years old, and he wanted a rifle, but his mama convinced him that a guitar would be better instead.
His mama.
In 1947, a local radio show offered a young Elvis at the age of 12 a chance to sing live on air, but he was too shy to go on. So he could have started then.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And at 18, Elvis paid $4 to make his first record a gift for his mama. So his first record was a gift of him singing to give to his mom.
That's great. Whenever someone can do something like that. Well, I've always noticed that when something's made, it's a lot more meaningful. And for someone like to do something like this, make us as far as making a song for their mother, how crazy is that? You know, how meaningful is that? Because it's something that everyone listens to, you know, especially if it takes off and becomes a big hit song. That's just something special that him and his mother can both share.
In 1954, Elvis auditioned for the gospel choir named the Song Fellows. They said no. They said no to him when he did that, when he auditioned for it. That same year, a local radio DJ played Elvis's version of That's All Right. He went on to play 13 more times that day, but had trouble convincing his audience that Elvis was white.
Really?
Really.
Actually, I guess, yeah, if I heard Elvis and I didn't know the face, I would think he was as well.
Really?
He wasn't white as well. Well, think about it. The voice is very...
different.
Thick.
Thick.
Thick. Well, yeah, because he puts that flair on it, you know, on his voice. It's a thick, attitude-y kind of... And I feel like artists at this time period didn't really have that. It didn't really bring that to the table. At least, you know, the white ones.
He had really, really small feet. He was 6 feet tall and wore a size 11. Is 11 big size?
I would say that's pretty big, yeah. I'm a size 9.
Oh, okay.
And a half.
Okay, I guess he didn't have small feet. I thought the sizes were like smaller because, never mind. Anyway, so Elvis bought his mansion in Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee in 1957 for $100,000. And back then, I think that was pretty pricey, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean, even in Mississippi and everywhere else, pretty much other than, well, not everywhere else, but most places, there's places that are a lot cheaper than California. So, like in Hollywood, everything was super expensive, and, you know, getting a house in Memphis might have not been as
pricey.
So, anyways, those are fun facts about Elvis, great artist. Sad that he also passed away. He actually passed away eating a sandwich on a toilet.
Oh, God.
And he was, I know. And I was like, well, who brings a sandwich in with them to the bathroom?
Elvis Presley.
Apparently.
I like that fact about how he dyed his hair. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because he was so famous for his hair, because his hair was so voluptuous.
Yeah, that was his signature kind of thing.
Yeah. So, anyways, back to you, Smooth.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Before we do that, I want to remind everybody we're listening to... Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, and this is Smash Beats. Our show is on Tuesdays from noon to 2, and we're here with Smooth.
That is myself.
And me. Just wanted to remind everybody. Okay, go ahead.
Well, transitioning to a more recent time, not too recent, about in the 90s.
In the 90s.
I'm going to switch it up to the bring everybody to, because my next two songs coincide with each other. Two artists coincide with each other. The East Coast, West Coast battle of rap and hip hop. Going to go with Tupac first. So Tupac from representing our coast, the West Coast, which ironically, I actually like the East Coast rapper better.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean... I didn't really sort of, connect to the artist as to Tupac as much because of the fact that what he rapped about was just so raw and aggressive, you know, and mm-hmm. Biggie was more the lyrical calm.
Biggie, TNT. Yeah. See, that was it. I don't know very much about Tupac. I know a lot about Biggie.
Yeah, that's not the song I'll be playing, but anyway, I'm going to be playing the song Changes by Tupac. This is definitely a song that I love. And it's just, I thought it was different than all his other music because this was kind of the more sensitive side of him, you know. It was just a slower paced kind of song and just had a different feel to it than Tupac's usual aggressive, you know, outrageous, rebellious.
Craziness, exactly. Rebellious.
So I'll be playing this song.
Okay, can't wait.
Enjoy.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a negro. Pull a trigger, kill him, he's a hero. Get it to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers. Give him guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I was supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
See no changes, all I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace to races. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. Cause both black and white, it's more tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real, time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling it back to the kid.
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Damn, yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the facts, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp smack you up. Gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's the sound number two. You say it ain't cool, but mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right, tat, 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 tat. That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.
That was Changes by Tupac, and I really like this song because it, again, going back to, it was different than all the other music he was saying. You know, the other music was rebellious and just talking about, you know, killing people and the whole violence scene, and this song talked about real life issues. And you know, in the song he's quoted by saying, we ain't ready to see a black president. And I thought that's quite ironic because now we have a black president, and
I know,
super unfortunate that he didn't,
wasn't able to live long enough.
Wasn't exactly to see that the world is improving and, you know, just really making strides towards equality. And because I feel that this is at a time where African Americans were kind of being not necessarily neglected, but were still fighting for their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of, and he's also quoted saying, talking about how he has to sell crack, you know, to provide for his family. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And mm-hmm. actually, the chorus in the song is a sample from a number one hit in 1987 by Bruce Hornsby. And the piano line is also sampled from that song. It's called Just the Way It Is. So, you know, just using different music from, you know, older times and incorporating into his music. And I just like the overall message of this, you know, just kind of, I guess, society, we want things to change and we have to be the change we want to be, but
be the change that you wish to see in the world, like Gandhi said.
Exactly, by Gandhi.
Like Gandhi.
But you know, you want to be this, but society kind of puts that whole idea down because that's not really how it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, quoting the song, it's just the way it is. Things will never be the same, you know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so much has happened since, you know, Tupac's death, too. You know, so many things happened,
like
Obama being president, and, you know, things have changed, but really there's just so much that, you know, we have to improve on.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, we have, yeah, exactly. Just building on what you said, we still have a long way to go, you know,
mm-hmm.
But we've definitely made the right steps in order to show other countries and, you know, just the world that we are making improvements in our lives in terms of, you know, equality and for everybody.
It's almost like every time we take a step forward, we kind of take, or every time we take two steps forward, we kind of take a step back almost. So, you know, there's good in things that come, you know, every day. So, you know, we have a black president. Okay, that's great. We have a black president. But, you know, also we have people that are super hungry in other countries. And then, you know, we have, you know, water shortages and just, you know, environmental crises that we kind of don't know what to do with right now. But, you know, when it comes to making people equal, we're starting to get there. But, you know, like, we're kind of falling in other areas.
Exactly. Yeah, so Tupac Amor Shakur was born on June 16th, 1971, and died September 13th, 1996. He was also known known by his stage names Tupac with a 2 instead of just T-U, it'd be the number 2 Pac,
mm-hmm.
and briefly as Machiavelli. Shakur has sold over 75 million albums worldwide as of 2010, making him one of the best-selling music artists in the world, which is quite ironic because, again, you know, he's not with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone to, and I feel he became even more prominent once he passed away, and I feel that happens a lot of the time, you know, kind of you take things for granted. The artists are here and making their music, but, you know, once they're not here and not making music, that's when people really appreciate their music. Like, you know, we're never going to be able to hear them again. So
mm-hmm.
let's hear the music that we have and, you know, appreciate that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. And, you know, have you ever experienced racism? I know you're Mexican. I'm Middle Eastern, so I know that, you know, people have said some rude comments to me saying, like, you know, we don't need your, I mean, a lot of times they're joking, but we don't need your terrorist opinion and things like that. So have you had that experience?
Yes, I actually still, in some situations, still have it to this day, you know, and especially with sports and stuff. There's obviously a lot of, you know, kind of, obviously, you know, people are in each other's ear about talking stuff, and race is definitely something that gets brought up, you know. I was actually watching a video of some European teams, an African was actually being insulted, and an Italian guy used the N-word, and you know, it was just, I couldn't believe it, in front of the ref too, and nothing happened.
You didn't get red carded?
No, nothing. You know, he said it blatantly, and you know, they zoomed in on his lips saying the N-word, and nothing happened. And I thought it was cool, because so they played one time, and that's what happened, and they actually ended up playing a second time, and the second time his whole team, African's whole team, ganged up, not blatantly, you know, just go, everybody ran up and just get, but you know, during the run of play, different players were going and just straight kicking him, you know, fouling him, just, he was on the ground the whole game. And
yeah, you have to be careful what you say. It's like the same thing, you have to be careful what you ask for. You totally asked for that, you know. People, your team's gonna be protective over you. I mean, what did he expect? Not for,
like,
that to happen.
It's just, you know, when you insult one person, especially within a team, that's your family, you know, you're gonna fight for the person next to you. I just thought that was really cool that, you know, they met again and his whole team supported him and really, really backed him up, you know, and just was there for him,
which
and
is great. I mean, you see it though, like, you know, people say the N-word really, you know, nonchalantly now, like, you know, what's up, you know, N-word, and now it's used so, like, you know, loosely. Thank you. Loosely. And, you know, people, you know, even like without even thinking, you'd be like, what are you talking about? You're just Mexican. Or what are you talking about? You know, you terrorist. Or, you know, they say things like just joking when it's really kind of degrading almost. And going back to what Tupac said, you know, he was talking about how, like, you know, we're never going to see a black president. So, you know, just talking about racism. So,
well, it's almost as if people view your credibility in terms of your ethnicity, which is completely not the truth. You know, I mean, anybody can know information. It's not just because you're, you know, black
race.
Or if you're. Yes, a certain race, you're gonna not be knowledgeable over certain, you know, topics, and that's completely absurd and unacceptable. And honestly, I find it kind of insulting that people stereotype in such a way to make people feel that, you
and
know.
And it's unfortunate. My great grandfather, my dad's father, they were American Indian, and, you know, Heinz 57, but he was very, very, very degrading towards anybody that wasn't blonde hair, blue eyes, or brown hair, blue eyes, or, you know, white skin. So, you know, when we had, you know, gardeners, he'd be like, ah, the Mexicans are here, and, like, he was just super degrading. So I actually dated a guy, and he was Italian and African American, and my father was just, he could never, like, I told him about it, and he goes, oh, well, that's nice for you. Like, he's still to this day is, like, racist about, you know, people that aren't white. So it's just sad to see that, like, it's still around, it's still prevalent. But have we gotten better with it? Yes, we have an African American president. So,
and even translating to the most sacred of all topics for us Americans, sports.
Yeah.
The stereotypes within sports are big time, you know, and we don't even realize we do it. For example, in soccer, prevalent, you know, in the border countries with Mexico, or states with Mexico, California, Texas, all those, mm-hmm. Arizona, you know, I feel people believe, really truly believe that Mexicans are better, you know, it's just a stereotype, like, if you're Mexican, you're good at soccer, and that's just completely absurd, you know.
Yeah.
And a white American, a Caucasian American can totally be, you know, good at soccer. And mm-hmm. that has, race has nothing
or
to
that,
do with
you know
it.
Like African-American people, they say, have more muscles than Caucasian people, and they have like better genetics, but when in reality, I mean, they could, but in reality, I mean, you know, Steve Nash, and you know,
yeah, and even transitioning into basketball, African Americans are seen as better basketball players, quote unquote. You know, just because you're African American, you're seen as, you know, the basketball all-star.
I mean,
that isn't even true.
There's Jason Kidd, there's, you know, Steve Nash, there's, and then you look and there's like, you know, Stephen Curry, who is playing for the Warriors right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, there's both of them are really, really great, but they just see that there's more of a certain race that are, you know, good at certain sports.
Exactly.
You know?
And, you know, looking at another sport, which isn't as big of on the sports spectrum, is hockey. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of the people who are, you know, good at hockey are Caucasians, you know, whites. And I mean, that is not always the case. Mm-hmm. It's just,
well, they could be Canadian,
exactly.
But they're, I mean, they're not American, like all American, you know, they could be white, European, anything, but you know, it's just, it's crazy because of your this, you know, your color of your skin that you get put into categories. I mean, people say Asians are really good at math, but you know, I know tons of people that aren't Asian that are wicked smart and really good at math. So,
and it all just
stereotypes.
And it comes to the question, why do we do it? Is there really a difference in race? We're all human. Mm-hmm. You know, we all came from the same place.
Yeah.
It just really bothers me. And, you know, I actually think, you know, because this is the type of music, going back to Tupac, that I really listen to for messages like this, because it's not, and this is where music originated from, you know, for rap and hip hop, that's where it originated from, mm-hmm. from African Americans being scrutinized and, you know, neglected and put down. And, you know, it's just a way of them expressing themselves and how they feel and mm-hmm. how they're being put, and just, you know, it's just a way for them to just express. It's mm-hmm. a form of art.
Yeah. So I, you know, getting their opinions out there. I mean, even not even African American, you know, people that have been, you know, doing this music for years saying, you know, Tupac, when he said, oh, we're never going to see a black president. But like, even if you look at it, you know, in Mexico, oh, we're never going to be known as the upper class. You know what I mean? Because, you know, usually they think that, you know, Mexicans are kind of the middle or lower class. You know, it's the same thing. It's just all based on race. And so,
yeah. So, I mean, it's almost as if just society automatically categorizes certain races.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like the blacks and Hispanics are mm-hmm. viewed in, like you said, in the middle and lower class. You know, the Caucasians are seen as in the high class, Asians as well, you know, mm-hmm. because they're the smart, quote unquote, people in the world. They know everything. And just the fact that we do that is just completely wrong. And,
absolutely.
You know, I praise artists such as Tupac, who really, you know,
put their opinion out there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Speak out and really bring these topics to you know, prevalence. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, a lot of people view this kind of music as, you know, the quote unquote hooligan music, mm-hmm. and just completely turn away from it and don't even give it a chance just because it's hip hop and rap.
Mm-hmm. So going back to our music, since we went on that little rant, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Penguin Radio and this is Smash Beats, and our show is on Tuesdays from noon to 2, and we're here with Smooth, my friend DJ Smooth, which he hates when I put DJ in front of it, and I am Blitz, and we are almost out of time, but we have time for maybe one or two more songs, So the next song I'm going to be playing is by Amy Winehouse, who also died of an overdose. And I'm going to be playing her song Rehab. So enjoy.
I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time, and if my daddy thinks I'm fine, just try to make me go to rehab. I won't go, go, go. I'd rather be at home with Ray. I ain't got 17.
A great song by Amy Winehouse, and that was Rehab. You know, I like that song. I think her voice is very
soul.
It's soul, but it's like kind of raspy, and I like that. And it's very different from what you hear, you know, the mainstream kind of music. So Amy Winehouse was born September 14th, 1983, and she passed away, unfortunately, on July 23rd, 2011, which was 2 years ago. Can't believe that. She was an English singer-songwriter known for her deep contralto vocals, which is probably means the raspy vocal, the, you know, the deep voice, and her eclectic mix of musical genres, including R&B, soul, and jazz, and reggae. So she kind of did like this wide variety of different kinds of genres. Winehouse in 2003 debuted album Frank was a critical successful it was a huge success rather in the UK and was nominated for the Mercury Prize. Her 2006 follow-up album Back to Black led to 5 2008 Grammy Awards, tying the record at the time for the most wins by a female artist in a single night, and made Winehouse the first British female to win 5 Grammys, including 3 of the General Field Big Four awards, Best New Artist, Record of the Year, and Song of the Year. Winehouse won 3 Ivor Novello Awards in 2004, Best Contemporary Song for The Stronger Than Me in 2007, Best Contemporary Song again, this time for Rehab, the song I just played, and in 2008, Best Song Musically and Lyrically for Love is a Losing Game. She won the 2007 Brit Award for Best British Female Artist, having also been nominated for Best British Album with Back to Black. After years of abusing drugs, then alcohol, Winehouse died of alcohol poisoning on the 23rd of July in 2011. Her album, Back to Black, posthumously became the UK's best-selling album of the 21st century at that point. In 2012, Winehouse was ranked 26th on the VH1's 100 Greatest Women in Music list. The BCC has called her the preeminent vocal talent of her generation. So she did have interesting vocals. Like I said, raspy voice, kind of a deep voice, very different from what we are used to hearing and just, you know, general artists. So that's what I got to say about Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, definitely a great, strong, powerful voice she had.
She was interesting looking too. She had like really big eyeliner, and she had tattoos everywhere. She was just kind of like an odd person. She had really, really big hair. But her voice was just very different from others. So that's about her. So I want to actually now promote a few shows that are going to be happening later in the week. Would you like to start us off, Smooth?
Yes. So catch the Metal Hour with the Beard Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Catch DJ 91 and his show The Sauce. Later that following hour, Wednesday from 3 to 4, Real Talk with Lady Boss. And Wednesday evening from 6 to 7, catch DJ Jules and with Jules on the Field. And the homies Chops and Ty, catch them with Sports Relatives Thursdays from 4 to 6.
They're so funny.
Have a great show. Really get into the sports and really get in with all the Bay Area sports and really go in depth with them. And they are quite the pair duo, I have to say. So
yeah, they're very, very funny guys. every single time we go into class, they're always cracking jokes, but they're really sweet boys. So anyway, so that's that for the rest of the week. What do you have in store for us, Smooth?
Well, I wanted to talk about the East Coast now. Go with Biggie Smalls, the Notorious B.I.G., and play the song Juicy by him. But before I do, I wanted to kind of give a background before.
Okay.
Christopher George Latour Wallace was born May 21st, 1972, and died March 9th, 1997. So a year after Tupac passed away, Notorious B.I.G. followed. Wallace was raised in the Brooklyn borough of New York City. When he released his debut album, Ready to Die, in 1994, he became a central figure in the East Coast hip-hop scene and increased New York's visibility in the genre at the time when West Coast hip-hop was dominant in the mainstream. So there were all these West Coast rappers that were, you know, kind of dominating the game. So, rappers such as Tupac, for example, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and just all these artists. So Biggie kind of rose to fame and really contradicted that East Coast. So it was kind of a 3-on-1 kind of thing. It was West Coast, East Coast battle was pretty hectic and intense. The following year, Wallace led his childhood friends to chart success through his protege group, Junior Mafia, while recording a second album. Wallace was heavily involved in the growing East Coast, West Coast hip-hop feud, as I mentioned earlier. And a little bit about his death. On March 9th, 1997, Wallace was killed by an unknown assailant in a drive-by shooting in Los Angeles. His double disc set, Life After Death, released 16 days later and rose to number one in the U.S. album charts and was certified Diamond in 2000, one of the few hip-hop albums to receive this certification. Wallace was noted for his loose, easy flow, dark semi-autobiographical lyrics, and storytelling abilities. Two or more albums have been released since his death. He was certified sales of 17 million units in the United States. So, you know, again, going back, amazing career. Unfortunately, did not get a chance to achieve his full success. And just honestly, a great, great artist. Very lyrical, really spoke about the truth and what, you know, what people were really going through at the time. You know, he grew up when the whole crack epidemic was going real big, and he actually sold crack. And, you know, on the way to his fame, he met Puff. Puff Daddy, so.
Puff Daddy?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he helped him. He paved the way for him. And, you know, the Big Mac from McDonald's was actually originated through him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
The B.I.G. Mac, quote unquote. Awesome. But, yeah, so him and Puff Daddy, and actually with Puff, he got, there were, for a long time when he got killed, there were accusations of him being the culprit of not necessarily shooting him, but, you know, him being involved in the actual setting up of him being shot. And for a very long time, that's what they thought.
And I think even till to this day, I mean, I think people still question it.
Yeah, definitely.
If it was,
and, you know, to this day, no one, it's still not a cold, hard fact of who killed him. And it, with both Tupac and Biggie, no one ever found out who killed either of them. And, you know, that speaks volumes to me about how much, you know, these, although these guys were big, big artists.
Yeah.
They still, you know, the fact that they weren't able to find out, the police wasn't able to find out who did it is really shocking to me.
Yeah, I mean, especially with all the technology. I mean, maybe not back then because he passed away quite a few years ago. But there's still actually they made a movie about Biggie. And I haven't watched it all the way through. But it was just crazy about, you know, like you said, he was selling crack and everything. And, you know, how these artists become so popular even after they've been, you know, doing some dirty things in their lifetime. So that's very exciting. So I'm excited to listen to this song on our way out. I wanted to let everybody know that you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm here with my friend Smooth, and I'm Blitz, and this is Penguin Radio Smash Beats. You can catch our show Tuesday from noon to 2. And thank you so much for listening today, guys. And we're going to end our segment today with Biggie. So here we go. Enjoy. This is Juicy.
This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all of this at the end of the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking a new bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The hard, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know. And personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke soap with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to acting happen stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know. Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minx on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive. And it's all. And if you don't know, now you know. And if you don't know, now you know. And if you don't know, now you know. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, Mad Flavor.